The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
I'm so evocative of you standing in Eastern Europe doing a horror in some shtetl, Kanan.
Really? I was picturing myself coming to the get in Paris. Different perspective.
I suppose so. In any event, great to be talking to you. Happy New Year and all those good things. And we can only hope that this year will be better than last. Yeah, interesting story about Portugal and our Holocaust Museum.
Yeah, not just any city in Portugal. Actually, it's a city that whose Jewish community was shaped by the earlier disaster for the Jewish people, the Inquisition. The city of Porto in northern Portugal, a city of about 200,000 people, so not a huge place, very beautiful place, shrouded in mist, usually that comes up from the river that divides Porto, the home of the Porto wine, of course, and also with a small Jewish community of about 400 members. And I visited that place intermittently over the past 20 years, I think. And 10 years ago, they were so strapped for cash that they didn't have money to repair their ceiling. It was leaking. That's how poor they were. They had no rabbi. And in a week, they're going to open a new institution, the Holocaust Museum of Porto, the first one in Portugal, huge building with several rooms, modern museum aided by the Washington Holocaust Museum, but with their own money. So obviously a lot of changes.
Is this mainly due to that Portuguese citizenship application that has apparently had a significant impact on the Portuguese Jewish community?
Right. Directly and indirectly, because directly, about 25,000 people have received the Portuguese citizenship since 2015, when Portugal passed a law atoning for the Inquisition and inviting Sephardic people, not necessarily Jews, to apply for citizenship. And 75,000 have. Of those, 25,000 have been approved. And the body vetting those applications that's two Jewish communities, the Porto one and the Lisbon one. And that has been a boon for those very small communities because each application is at least $500.
Yeah.
In fees that mostly go into the pockets of these communities. And I guess that's also the law's intention a little bit to inject some cash and vitality into those existing Jewish communities.
I am kind of surprised, Kanan, having been to Iberia and having gone on that Red Sefaradia, whatever they call it, the Sephardi route, would have thought that that would have been their claim to fame and that they would have invested money into their own history. The Holocaust didn't really touch them to the extent that it touched the rest of Europe, did it? I mean, Portugal was never German. It was never conquered.
No, it was neutral during World War II, but there is a government interest here because Portugal was only nominally neutral. Actually, okay. When the Nazis were defeated, Antonio Salazar, the Catholic right-wing dictator of Portugal, lowered the flag in mourning of Hitler's death. And so, in effect, it was a pro-Nazi country. Now, in the Holocaust context, it actually has a very positive story. One of its diplomats, Artisto Mendoza, he saved about 33,000 Jews by giving them visas. He was consul in France, in Bordeaux, and there were a lot of Jews trying to flee Nazi occupation. He gave 33,000 of them entry visas into Portugal, saving their lives. So that's a great story for the Portuguese government to kind of highlight from that stain.
Interesting. Okay, that does give one a little bit of an understanding as to why this is happening. And Kanan, I wonder if you can kind of in the next 2 minutes address this issue of this perverse story of, I don't know who was planning to build a conference center in the former Jewish cemetery of Vilnius. Why would one do that? I'm glad to hear it shelved, but what's the story here?
So in 2012, I believe, the city of Vilnius and the government decided that they're going to renovate a old sports center that the Soviets built on one of the largest Jewish cemeteries in Vilnius, the Shnipiskas cemetery. And they envisioned a multi-million dollar conference center there. Now, they see it as just an old Soviet dilapidated building that they want to renovate. But of course, from the Jewish perspective, that's not so simple, because a cemetery remains a cemetery. Even if you raise the headstones, the bodies are still there. And halacha does not permit us to disturb those bodies. And so there was this struggle about construction, but really about where Jews stand, because in the Lithuanian nation, because the argument was, would you ever do this to a Catholic cemetery had the Soviets destroyed that? No, you would never do it. And therefore, this is another sign of the disrespect to the Jewish communities that has always plagued the relations between Lithuanians and Jews. Now, this has become a do or die issue for the right wing Lithuanian government. It won't be bullied. It won't be cajoled. They stood on their grounds until in the budget for 2021, suddenly that allocation of funds for the renovated Congress Center disappeared from the government budget. That's how things are done mostly in Lithuania. No announcements, no recognition of any fault, just a quick burial of this issue in the budget line.
Absolutely fascinating. Klein Lipschitz, toda raba. I look forward to chatting to you same time next week.
Catch you soon. Thank you.
It was great to chat to Knaan again. In fact, I'm really enjoying being back full stop. Knaan today, Andrew Simantov on Thursday. It's going to be a very good week.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.